Welcome back, everyone. What a momentous day. Welcome back to the Millennial Pep Talk, episode 10, the final episode of the season. I'm your host, Chris Crockett.
I'm Esther Polito.
For those who have been listening from the start, you know that we had little taglines at the beginning. Those kind of fell off, Esther. I remember I was saying at the beginning, I'm the Milliebot, which I still resonate with. I'm a millennial. I feel like I'm a robot a lot of times. And then you had a different one.
Well, you don't use yours. I just am the baddest broad. There's no,
Exactly. There's no need to
I don't
announce
need
it every
anybody else to
time.
affirm it to myself.
Well, today we're going to talk about the season. I think that the final episode of every season should just be kind of a wrap up for us, some reflections, and just talk about what we enjoyed. I mean, this is a big deal that we managed to get through this, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I think last week you were like, "Oh my God, can you believe it?"
I still feel that way. I mean, you go into a project, it's always really fun at the beginning, just thinking of the ideas, but then execution never goes the way that you planned, right? And I know that's something you wanted to talk about today is execution versus those early intentions.
Yeah. I get very defensive when people say stuff like that to me because I was like, did you not think I was going to do the thing I said I was going to do? Do we not know each other? I get very annoyed. Even if it
Interesting.
takes years to get something done, usually if I really do want something, I'll circle back to it at some point. Yeah, let's start off with this question because it's the biggest question in life.
Uh-oh. What is this
Just start
question?
off in architecture, which is always there's only two questions you really have to answer when it comes to a project, which is what did you intend on doing, and did you execute the thing that you want to do? So intention versus execution.
Okay.
So the question is, did we do the thing that we want to do with regards to this podcast?
I definitely feel like I'm in trouble when you pose this question to me. Did you do what you were supposed to do, Chris? Reflecting back when we were coming up with this idea and we were talking about what we were going to do, it's so interesting because I think we were going back and forth on what we were going to name the podcast, and Pep Talk really stuck. But for some reason, even when we got that name, I was telling Esther, we're going to do all this educational content and we're going to really make it about starting a business and doing that from the millennial perspective. And so early on, I think that was my intention, was to make it about that. But I'm so glad that we pivoted away from that. The core of this podcast, I think, has just been exploration. It's been about building community post-COVID. And I think maybe you had that intention from the start. I didn't. So I think Esther was gently guiding us towards something better, early on when we were conceptualizing this.
Yeah, I think that's right. In any piece of art, there's a moment when like the artist stares at a piece of clay and you're like, what does this want to be? It's good to have a framework and a starting point, but it's also nice to leave room for that creativity. And podcasting is its own thing.
For
It's
sure.
its own medium. 'Cause we were talking about doing a podcast. I don't know how early it was, like maybe last fall. And at first, to be honest, I didn't take you seriously because I had just casually mentioned, oh, yeah, and I'm doing this podcast. And you were like, oh, how's that going? What's that like? And as we usually do, we'll be in the middle of a conversation and you'll be like, this should be in a podcast. And I'll just roll my eyes and be like, everybody thinks their conversations are so deep and so insightful. And it's not true. Some people that are on YouTube are just idiots and they just feel good about spouting off nonsense. It's nice to hear yourself talk, but I don't want to take up anybody's time just because I need attention. That goes against my personality. I always want to contribute something useful to people, whatever that is. And I feel like the pep talk part really resonated because we were going through a massive transition, i.e., in the political landscape in America, and everybody was feeling some kind of way. And I certainly was feeling some kind of way last year in the fall when I had exactly 100 days of hope. And and then that was just taken away. And now we're here. But I do feel like wherever we are now is actually better than where we started. And we can still circle back and talk about the business and just starting projects next season. I think there's still pieces of that that is really helpful for folks who want to start a business mm-hmm. or want to start consulting or want to start podcasting or writing or whatever it is. But yeah, it definitely became its own thing. And there was just so many topics that were coming up on a societal level that we are all grappling with that we don't necessarily have, you know, the right answers to, but mm-hmm. it's worth discussing. And that's where both our perspectives were really helpful, I feel like, for folks to kind of tune into every once in a while just to see what's going on.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I mean, I think that the thing that I have really taken from this season is it's really important to get your voice out there, because if we're thinking it, they, other people probably thinking the same things, grappling with the same questions. And the worst feeling in the world is to be grappling with something, thinking about something, and then you look online or you look around and it seems like nobody else is thinking the same thing. I'm sure that that feels crazy, right? Like, you feel like you're crazy when you're thinking about stuff and nobody else is contending with it. And so I've changed my opinion about podcasting, YouTubing a lot in recent months. I've always been kind of the person who's like not shy, but I also never really aspired to be the face of something, to have my voice out there as part of the conversation. But now I'm starting to realize, yeah, it's important. Maybe that's surprising to hear, but I definitely was always like, I'm just going to keep my head down and just, you know, do what I'm good at. And I didn't have these aspirations, but we're here now. So, and I'm enjoying it. So I'm glad that we're doing it.
That's so funny, because you reminded me of something I said to you, I think, very early on when we first met. Because I had mentioned something like, if you could find some gigs or some events where you could do something like presenting or speaking, you're really good at that. And you could probably make money doing it.
I do remember you saying that. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you said, but you reminded me of that this past year. And I was like, when did I say that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because it clearly stuck with me. I mean, I think there's a certain personality type that, like you said, a little egotistical, maybe not that smart. And so they want to get online and talk because it gives them attention. But I don't think either one of us come at these conversations or these podcast episodes with that in the back of our head. I mean, the thing that our listeners probably don't know is that you spend so much time thinking about like the details. Like, you want this to be useful and entertaining to people. You're putting other people before your own ego. So it's really nice to see that. And I appreciate you putting that much attention into these episodes, because I have had the attitude of, yeah, we're just going to get on and we're going to talk and just see what happens. We talk for like, we'll get on the phone before we started this podcast and we would talk for over an hour. And I'm like, this is it right here. This is the content. We're talking about important stuff that I think people care about. Right. I appreciate that you put some more thought and structure into it and force me to do the same.
Right. Well, I think if you're doing a good job, it does seem effortless. But what people don't understand is how much work behind the scenes we really do to even figure out what we're going to talk about, landing on the topics, maybe changing the topic because something else is happening that we want to talk about. Figuring out a way to frame the conversation is really difficult. Yeah. It's like, where is our angle? Where is our way into this? Doing things in a way that's like authentic to us and to our voice. And I think what sold me in the end, when you had to drag me kicking and screaming, I'm like, I've already done a podcast. Do I need to do another podcast? I've already done that. But I found that this time around was a bit more relaxed and it was a bit more gratifying compared to when I was doing my podcast. Cause as I always do, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I was going through some really difficult things. I was trying to work myself out of grief and dealing with depression at the time. And so the tone of my podcast, not so happy, but it was real. And I was going through something and I felt like I had to share pieces of that just to portray an honest snapshot of my life at the moment. And so this is different in that even when we record, we could just hop on and, we already have our notes, we already have our outline. But previously, for the two seasons I was doing my podcast, I would just have this severe anxiety attack before I would record. And there were moments where I couldn't get through the recording because I was either too upset or I was like crying and I had to stop too much.
Oh,
And
Esther.
yeah, people don't see that.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, so to be able to land here and do 10 episodes and have it be more enjoyable and joyful and get to just chat, with your friend is a totally different experience that I had before. And that's just a little bit of the behind the scenes because people didn't know exactly what was happening during that time. I was just trying to do my best. And I feel like that's what everybody is doing right now. Everybody is just trying to show up and do their best. And that's where we land at the core of Millennial Pep Talk podcast is really the power of encouragement. And that's what makes it powerful.
And I think a lot of people, and that I think that ended up being the thing that hooked both of us, because I was like, oh yeah, la-di-da, we'll figure it out and we'll just go through it. But then when we really zoomed in, because even before we started the first episode, we were looking at the script, and then I think we both had the re realization, like, where's the pep talk? We need to have a pep talk in every episode, obviously. So that was kind of an epiphany. So if you're paying attention, you'll notice we'll start off with an introduction. We'll sometimes have some ground research, which I think is a running joke, or very rigorous research that we're doing. And
Very
then
serious research.
we'll just talk about the topic, we'll explore it a little bit, and it's all building up to a pep talk. Because we're just recognizing that a lot of millennials are going through it. I mean, we are too. And like you said, you were going through a lot of stuff too. And I know that the thing that I appreciate about my friends is that a good friend is going to be honest with you, but also try to pep you up, right? Like give you a kick so that you can actually get out there and do the things that you want to do in life. So I hope that we continue that trend.
Oh yeah. Or we could do custom ones once we have a Patreon.
Oh my gosh. You know what I was thinking about? What is that thing called? Cameo? We could do little cameo pep talks,
Oh
which would
my
be crazy.
God.
I've heard it's taken off for some people. I'm not committing to this, by the
Oh, you're
way.
talking about like the celebrities that jump on to Cameo and they're like,
Yeah,
"Happy
onto Cameo.
birthday."
So first we got to get famous, and then we can do little cameo pep talks,
I don't
because
need to be
that'll
famous. We don't ever need to be famous
That's
to be
actually a good point.
successful, by the way.
Lizzo actually said something similar. She was saying, I would recommend anybody do something that you're really good at and make a lot of money, but maybe don't be famous. Like, try to stay behind the scenes because being
No.
famous
Yeah.
kind of sucks, which is really interesting takeaway. I always assumed Lizzo enjoyed being famous, but kind of good
Oh,
to
I'm
know.
sure it fills a part of her that she thought she needed maybe back in the day when she was going through it. There's still the ego part, like you said.
Sure, always. Okay. The last thing that I want to say about like what I learned from this, and I don't think you're going to be surprised to hear me say this, but I'm really just happy that we dove into it. I think that there's a lot of times, and obviously, that critique of, oh, everybody says they're going to do something and then they don't actually do it. I know that's not true about you. That's why I wanted to work with you. There are so many people out there that just love that stage of just thinking about it, but then actually going out, diving in and doing it. That's tough for a lot of people. It takes a lot of activation energy to actually do a thing. And so I do feel very proud of both of us for just jumping in and being so open to learning. I think that one of the things that I want to do next season is open up a little bit more about that behind the scenes piece. Like just the fact that we are trying to make this such a good podcast, right? Like we're actually taking master classes in the background and looking at other podcasts for
George
inspirations.
Stephanopoulos.
I know this is Esther's like secret crush, I think. So wait, maybe not so secret actually.
Okay, I'm gonna need some people to back me on this because George Stephanopoulos, he's maybe 5'5", and I had made a comment. George Stephanopoulos is really hot, and you're like, "What? What?" Because
Yeah,
of
I
course he doesn't
was
fit the 6'2"
blue
finance bro
eyes,
that
trust
apparently everybody's
fund.
going after. This man starts off his day reading the news, international. He understands politics. very intellectual, soft-spoken, but can garner a lot. He is very well connected. He has that soft power that only these blustering billionaires can dream of. That actual respect, right, that he brings to the table. And he's sat toe-to-toe during interviews with like a lot of sitting presidents.
Yeah.
And had to figure out how to actually get stuff done. And I'm going to take a poll at some point, but I think you are wrong.
Okay. Well, if anything, this is good news for our short kings that, you know, there are a lot of ways to be attractive.
Not everybody needs to be 6'5" and be the Hulk.
Yeah, for sure. Well, awesome. I wanted to talk about like our takeaways from the season. So obviously, like we talked about what we learned. Before we dive into this, I want to ask you a question, Esther. So you started off with the question of, did we do what we wanted to do?
Did we execute the thing that we intended to execute?
And I think ultimately, you know, the TLDR is that, yes, we did, right? We managed to do a 10-episode season where we gave pep talks and we covered a lot of the topics that were timely. And one of the things that you wanted to do was roll in some things that were happening in real life, right? So whether that's movies, it's usually pop culture of some sort that's going on. And to me, I really love that we did roll that in. I'm wondering if there are any of those pieces that really stood out to you. Like, what did you enjoy the most from the season?
Yeah, I really loved, you know, the wedding banquet because we talk about family. It's really nice to support the community right now with everything else that's going on. I also, just for the sake of nostalgia, really like Mission Impossible. Yeah, I think those were the standouts. Do you have any?
I feel like you're not going to believe me when I tell you this.
Is it going to be the Braveheart again?
No, because you would totally believe that. Of course you would believe that. No, my standout of the season was actually going to that Pitch a Friend. So
no way.
Even though I rated it a 5 out of 10. See, I told you weren't going to believe me. No, upon reflection, I was just so glad that this podcast gave me an excuse to go out and just go to something that I wouldn't normally go to. And I think it's going to unlock more opportunities like that.
Look at that growth.
I know. I think it is growth. And so like
stepping outside your comfort zone.
Exactly. That's definitely what it is. It's been about diving in this year for me. And I've noticed that it's been bleeding into my real life where friends have been inviting me to do stuff that I would never do. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll just check it out. Because I keep thinking in the back of my mind, I'm going to share this with Esther and see what she thinks about it. So for instance, in August, I'm going to like this music festival rave thing with some friends in Nashville.
Nice.
I would never, ever in a million years think to go do something like that. But
have you been to a rave before?
No.
It's pretty intense.
That's what I'm expecting. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it was really popular in high school. That's when ecstasy was the drug of choice and everybody was going to raves. And I had a couple of friends who was really into that. I mean, I like the dancing and the glow sticks. So that's fun.
Well, okay. Well, let's see if you find some leaks of me doing that. Maybe I'll have a good time and actually start dancing with some glow sticks or something. I've been known to have a good time, you know, if I go to a club or a party or something. We'll see what that turns into. All right. Let's talk about our takeaways from this season. I think if I was to summarize the season, and I want you to do the same, think about like how you would summarize the season. My summary would be community, relationships of all kinds. So friendships, family, community service, non-traditional family units. So you know, speaking of the wedding banquet that came up, and then it dovetailed into romantic relationships because people our age typically start prioritizing that the most. But I love that we kind of just had like this full range of different types of relationships and prioritizing all of them, because I think a lot of people are feeling lonely. So it's a response to that loneliness and isolation that people are feeling.
For sure.
And so I took some notes. I think that the things that I want our listeners to take away from this season is to really keep community at the front of your mind. There are a lot of things that we prioritize. Community seems to not be one of them.
Yeah, it's so strange. And the more I think about it, the more I realize Because I come from the Philippines, and we have a word for this that I have a hard time translating in English. There's a lot of things like that culturally, and it's bayanihan.
Okay.
And when you Google bayanihan, it's these photos of people literally putting a house up on their back and moving it across town, because
Wow.
that's how the culture is in the Philippines. If you need to go move, you don't call the mover, moving company. You just tell your neighbors, and they will show up, and they'll help you. And it's that sense of unity and trust in each other that we seem to be lacking in America right
100%.
now.
100%.
And that's the hardest, that's the hardest thing, and it's bleeding into every part of our lives, especially even
Yeah.
in dating. It's kind of scary. I'm not sure how that would translate into being neighborly, I guess. The golden rule.
It's beyond neighborly, because that to me, being neighborly is like, oh, I'll let you know if you had a package arrive or something like that. Like
Yeah.
that, I think that as an American, that's what my expectations of my neighbors are. But yeah, it's like neighborly, but like to a higher level.
Yeah.
And I love to hear that. Okay. Oh, actually, one more thing that I wanted to mention as well.
Yeah.
I have I'm very invested in men's health, especially men's mental health. And so I know that that came up a few times. It was never super pointed, but I think that now reflecting on the season, like the things that I want, guys, if you're listening, focus on getting in shape, get your mental health in order. And then when it comes to dating, like just calm down a little bit. Like you do build relationships out of comfort, and that comes with time, exposure, community. And I'd love to explore that topic a little bit more next season, but those are kind of like the high level takeaways. And I hope that I did a good enough job of starting to impress that idea upon listeners.
Yeah. That's why I like to say mental fitness. Because sometimes when you say mental health, it
Yeah.
kind of has a little bit of a negative
Yeah, I get you.
connotation.
I like
And I
mental
was like, no,
fitness.
mental health is mental fitness. It's the same thing when you're counting your steps or you're counting your water intake or going to the gym. It's just making sure you are
Yeah.
actively dealing, you're actively processing, you're giving yourself the space for healing, you're giving yourself the space for reflection. And that's all part of like the tenets of being a whole and healthy person.
100%. All right, I'll hand it over to you now. So, how would you summarize the season, and then just tell me some of your takeaways?
Well, what I'm hoping for people to take away is primarily echoing some of the things that you already mentioned, is really valuing your friendships, particularly
Yeah.
your platonic relationships, taking away the stigma of being single and just appreciating the friends and the love that you already have in your life. I think that's really important. I really love that Ralph Waldo Emerson quote that says, "To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded." And I think that's really powerful because we all send out these ripples, whether they're positive or negative, out into the universe, and you never really know how people are affected by them. We could probably all be a bit more mindful of that. Because sometimes you do something, you're like, actually, I could have probably handled that better or just said it differently, but I was busy and I was just trying to get that on to the next thing. It's a little bit like, a bit more kindness. So there's moments like that. I think that's worth thinking about. Definitely want to thank my friends. And this season, my guy friends, because the last couple of years, as a joke, I've been telling my guy friends, I was like, why am I single? Because of you guys. My guy friends and the men in my life treat me so well that it acts almost kind of like an invisible force field against these dusty Joes that are coming out of the woodwork. No, thank you. I'm allergic. And that's the way I felt too. I told you I went to the movies in the park with my friend Luke, who I literally met the night of my birthday. We were at Church Bar in Portland, and they had a DJ. It was hip hop night, so there's DJs that came down from Seattle. It was like our people, so like Black and Asians on a dance floor, just having a good time, living their life. And I really wanted to just be in that scene that night. And then I see Luke, and then fast forward, we've been friends for a couple of years now. But that's the beauty of just being open. And part of it was kind of manifesting too, because I did ask, I put it out there. I was kind of like, it'd be really nice if I had more friends on this side of town. And next thing you know, he shows up. And then fast forward to us watching Galaxy Quest under the stars out in the park. It was really beautiful, full circle moment that I really appreciate. So thanks to my guy friends and my friends out there for your support, as usual. But lastly, next season's going to be juicy.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you right now, you're going to want to tune in. Because we were talking about this. We were talking about the fact that the youngest millennials are creeping up on 30.
Yeah. Crazy.
Right now, they're 28 and 29.
Join us on the other side.
It's like cutoff. It's coming up. But there's a lot of fear and trepidation that comes when you're in your teens. You're like, oh my God, 30 is so old.
Yeah.
And then you turn 30, you're like, what?
Yeah, why was I scared? That was literally my feeling. I was like, oh my God, I gotta get all this stuff done before I turn 30 or my life's over.
Yeah, I'm gonna share this. It's really embarrassing. And I wasn't sure if I really want to talk about this. The first time I got a gray hair, I cried myself to sleep. Like,
oh, wow.
It was so dramatic, my partner at the time. I'm sobbing, and my partner at the time was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, my youth, my beauty. Thinking about it now, it's kind of like, girl.
Yeah.
Calm down. It's like, what? It is so comical. Just so much pressure, right? And, you know, around that age, too, women who want children, so much pressure biologically to pop out a kid before you're 30, that there was so many compounding things. And looking back on it, I'm just kind of like, you're going to be fine.
So that's just
reframing that and contextualizing it, you're never too old and it's never too late. If there's still some things that you still want to get done and you're 31, mm-hmm. guess what? Harrison Ford was 31 when he filmed American Graffiti. Mm-hmm. Julia Child wrote Mastering the Art of the French Cooking at like 49.
Mm-hmm.
And Tina Turner met the love of her life, Erwin Bach, when she was 47, got married at 50. A lot of these are famous people. I just want to make sure people knew who these people were. But Morgan Freeman was 50 when he filmed Street Smarts. And Michelle Yeoh, who is super talented, incredibly amazing. I don't think anybody can say otherwise. Remember that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once, that came out around COVID?
Yeah.
That was her first leading role in a Hollywood film.
You believe
that?
And
she was 60 years old when she won the Oscar. And when the Oscar buzz started coming up and people were saying that, and I was like, is that right?
Yeah.
She's doing her own stunts at 60. I could barely do my yoga in the morning, and I'm in my 40s.
Yeah.
So she's doing complicated fight choreography. She was a Bond girl. She was in Crouching Tiger. And that blew my mind. That somebody that talented can be overlooked for so long. But it's what happens to us. That's what happens to us in the community. And it's really sad. But it's all to say, you just because you're doing something maybe a little bit later in life, it doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. You just have to persevere and keep moving. So for those younger millennials, I'm telling you, enjoy your 30s. It's going to be a good time.
I love that. And honestly, I'm glad that we're recording this. Like, we literally have your recording for for the 5 years from now when Esther is a famous playwright or whatever you want to be, a producer, filmmaker. We will have these words. Like, it's never too late. And I think that it really just resonates with me because I know we were talking about this. You go to school and college, you get a degree, and you have this expectation that that is going to pave the way to what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally doesn't. It totally doesn't. There's just so many times now that I reflect where I'm like, man, I had this fork in the road and I took this path and like it completely changed the trajectory of my life. And I'm happy mm-hmm. that it did, right? Like, I'm happy that I didn't just take the path of least resistance. And I'm really hoping that people feel like they can start new things, try new things in their 30s, God forbid, in their 40s.
When you're so old.
So that definitely is the best thing that we can say to our millennials and to, you know, the younger folks that are coming up as well. 30s are kind of like, kind of awesome, actually. Like, I'm really enjoying this decade. So
I hope so.
look forward
It's a
to
good
it.
time. It's not to say that it's necessarily easy, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And the thing that I've noticed about 30s, this is actually so another behind the scenes insight. Esther loves asking me questions and forcing me to reflect on things that I've never thought about.
It's not
She's
by
like, "Oh yeah,
force.
Chris, did you think about this? What would your mom say about this? Maybe it's because your mom did this thing." And it really has helped me to reflect. And I think one of the things you told me that I really agreed with and really appreciated was your 30s are the best time to just pause and start thinking about who you are, because you now have all this information about yourself, right? You spent your 20s trying stuff and you had your teenage years and all of that time before. Now is a good time to really look back and say, okay, based off all that information, who am I? What do I care about? What's important to me? And so I'm not as good at that as Esther is. I'm not a journaler necessarily, but even just having these conversations has really helped me figure out what I care about and what's important. And so I hope that our listeners are taking that away as well. Just that time to reflect.
Are you
And
saying, as a man, it is helpful to talk about your feelings every once in a while? I just want to make sure we get that on the record.
I am not admitting to that. That would be a that would be too far. Maybe we'll talk about that next season. But yes, Professor, of course it's good to do those things. And you know, the other thing that actually was just talking to one of my friends about this. We were talking about how there's this narrative that women are emotional, but guys are equally emotional. Equally emotional, it just manifests differently, right? So every time a guy gets pissed and he crashes out, that's an emotional reaction. We're definitely going to have to talk about that in season two. Just like how emotional gets unrightfully like tagged to one gender more
Yeah.
often.
You could feel the emotion but not be destructive. And sometimes, particularly with men, everything just translates to anger and violence. Instead of just saying, actually, and I had to go through this too, where I recognized witnessing my dad get old. The first emotion was anger for some reason. I was like, no, it's not really that I'm angry. I'm just sad. But for whatever reason, I was just so mad that this fact that we're all aging, it finally really hit home once I moved him from New Jersey. And it took me over a year to even process that because it was so complicated. It was really difficult.
It is, you know, family relationships are so difficult. I think that we've talked about kind of that baseline of how do you establish communities? How do you make these relationships? And then I think next season it would be really good to explore maintaining those relationships, deciding who you want to keep in your life, who you don't.
Yeah, the purge.
With a capital P, for sure. Let's wrap up here. I mean, it's honestly been so fun doing this with you. I've really enjoyed this. This is the wrap for season one. I just want to thank our listeners who have joined us at the very beginning. The OGs is what we will call you all. And again, you know, I say this every time we end an episode, but I truly mean it when I say thank you for taking the time to listen to us. And thank you for listening and hanging out with us. And hopefully, you'll see all of the work that we're putting in to improve this every season. So please join us again for our next season.
For sure. And I have to say, Chris, you're a great co-host.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Like I said before, it's such a different experience than it was before. And it's because of everything that you bring, regardless of whether you want to be front facing and you want to be doling out pep talks and speeches and advice to people, you have a really interesting take on all things. And it's made me better. It's made this podcast and everything that we do together better. So, thank you to our listeners. Please like and subscribe.
Gotta do
And
it.
let us know what you think in the comments.
Okay, yes, this is the most important time to do it for the conclusion of the season. And then the additional thing that I really would love to start taking questions from our listeners as we grow our base. Because we want to have more opportunities to interact with the listeners directly. Okay. Well, I would like to close us out with a quote. This is actually a quote that Esther brought up last time we talked. And this is really in line with what I was saying. using your 30s and your early 40s to really start reflecting on your life. And there is a Socrates quote about this, that the unexamined life is not worth living. But also, to put it into my own words, life is happening right now. And if you don't know yourself, you can't seize the moment. You can't enjoy life. You are just reacting to what is happening to you. But today is the best time to take the reins of your life and your destiny and really own it. So don't waste it. All right, everyone. Till next time, which is next season 2. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.